This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Halfway through the week, thanks for being with us. Looking forward to what comes up on Friday night on the high school football platform. On Saturday night with Arizona State and USC, USC's not that great. And U of A, can they do it against Washington State? It's a big college football week, and even high school, too. It's the last week of the regular season. We do all of it here. Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona-centric. The Cardinals are off. However, there are... this was ABC 15, and I talked about this yesterday with Peter, too. I'm hearing the same stuff that Bruce Arians is... going to retire at the end of the season. And I talked with Peter King about that very subject directly. He said he was going to reach out to Bruce. A side note, Peter dropped a podcast today with Chris Mortensen that, man, I got emotional listening to it because Mort is battling cancer, throat cancer, and it's stage four. And Peter got him. And when I say got him, like, he sat down and went right through all the gruesome details. And it's really good. If you're looking for some content after the show's over, not now, okay, after the show is over. Pedro Gomez is going to join us from the World Series, and we'll visit with Pedro about game one between the Dodgers and Astros. Bryce Perkins is going to be with us today. If you're a former Sun Devil follower, if you are one of those that likes to know where the former players went to, Bryce is at Arizona Western Community College. He is moving up the charts in terms of being a college JUCO College quarterback to recruit. And so we wanted to have him drop in on the show. So Bryce Perkins today. We'll have Talk to the Lopes. Talk to the Lopes today. Eric, when Eric told me who was coming on, this is great. I love this stuff. Carson Kim is the president of the Havocs. The Havocs are easily the most entertaining college hoops section going in, I don't know if even just college basketball, but maybe in college sports. They've got it figured out. So what's it take to become a Havoc? This kid's a student. What's he majoring in, and how do you know? What are they doing over there with the Havocs? So we'll talk to ECU, and then we'll have our Friday night 360 AZ preview show. Jordan and Haley back at it this week, and Bruce Cooper is going to be with them from Channel 12 as one of the guests this week as they preview the high school games coming into the final week of the season on Saturday. The brackets for football playoffs will be announced. So there's plenty coming up here in the next couple of hours. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We appreciate the partnership with them. Headlines and What's on My Mind brought to you by Sagicore Now, Sagicore Now, and Sagicore Life. We appreciate Sagicore and their support of what we do. You've got your life insurance needs. Think Sagicore, Sagicore Now. Great people. Appreciate their partnership with us here at Sports360AZ.com. Bruce Arians' story that came out yesterday, the most entertaining story is the hashtag Robert Sarver out. That's the most entertaining. Bruce Arians' retiring at the end of the season, ABC 15 reported this as a definitive. I am saying that I am hearing that Bruce is going to walk away at the end of the year. That is all around the agent community and the NFL families. Okay, that's what I'm reporting. And I'm not saying that Bruce is telling me, because I don't talk to Bruce Arians much. That is what I have been hearing, and we reported that yesterday morning with Peter King, and Peter... basically gave the be careful what you wish for. So let's just go down this path.
And let me interrupt you real quick, Brad. I know you can't see me because we had we're having camera issues. I'll be back in your little corner logo there in just a few minutes. But Bruce Arians did tweet yesterday, hearing reports I'm retiring.
Yeah.
News to me. Nothing could be further from the truth and 100% focused on getting back on track at SF hashtag Bird Gang. And my immediate response to that is that addresses the present.
Yes, you win.
That does not address after week 17 if there are no playoffs.
No, that's right.
Time frame.
No, you're right, Eric. And here's the thing. What's he going to say? Because we're sitting here in the third week in October. If he says nothing, that speaks volumes. If he says, well, yeah, that's true, I'm leaving. Well, he should just leave now. So he's kind of backed into a corner on this deal. But it's been the last few days, And my end's coming from agents and NFL assistant coaches, not in Arizona, that the word is out. So, you know, if you're going to go down this path, we've got a few months on this deal, but already people are sending me suggestions of names. The easiest names to come up with to replace Bruce Arians that are within the NFL circles that I'm hearing are two names that you're all familiar with, Todd Haley and Todd Bowles, okay? Todd Bowles is going to get fired with the Jets because that's what happens. You go to the Jets and you get fired. Doesn't mean he doesn't know what he's doing. He's very familiar with Michael. Todd Haley, we know about Todd Haley. That's an easy sell, linked to the past. He's been the coordinator. He's ready to be the head coach, so on and so forth here in Arizona. Bring him back. That would play well. They'd win the room and all that stuff. You know, eventually Bruce Arians has got to step forward and say something more definitive. This will only continue to increase now that it has been put out there. And the only way it's not going to increase is, even if Michael came out now, or if the Cardinals released some statement, they can always go back to, yeah, well, we had a change of heart. Yeah, well, the more Bruce thought. So whatever they say now, it's just now in October. You got to go through this for the next 8 weeks.
I'd love to crawl inside Bruce Arians' brain Sunday night in London after it was confirmed that Carson Palmer broke his arm and probably will not play the remainder of the season. I'd love to just at that moment when he got the prognosis of the injury, I'd love to know what went through Bruce Arians' mind.
He actually got it, I believe, right after the game.
Yes.
But I would think the flight back somewhere over the Atlantic, they got in at 3:30 in the morning. You know, you've got like whatever the length of flight was. But none of this should come as a surprise or a shock to anybody. I thought yesterday Peter's comments, Eric, about convince Carson to come back for another season and have him be the mentor for that guy. I don't know about if I agree with that. I think that there's always that, like Peyton Manning did. You know, our buddy Brock Huard is pretty open about how it was not easy being a backup to Peyton Manning. There was not a whole lot of mentoring going on there. When people are like, oh, yeah, they're going to help you out. They're going to help you out to take your job. I don't think that's how it works. So you're better off to make the clean break. And really, if you look at the Cardinals' situation at quarterback right now, it doesn't matter to me if Carson may be back in 6 weeks. They got other problems. All is well. Carson may be back in six. No, that's not how it works. You know, you're just trying to get through this season with some Band-Aids. Adrian Peterson comes in here as a Band-Aid. He was not good this last week. The week before, he was terrific. Does that have everything to do with the defense and the caliber of that they played against? Yeah. They still have to play the Rams again. And last time I checked, they've got the Seahawks a couple of times. This isn't going to be an easy road for them. And so I can't believe we've sat here. As much a fan as I am of Steve Keim, I'm a huge fan of Steve's. Personally and professionally, I'm a huge fan of his. But that they've not addressed this future at quarterback for the last 3 years. And you see organizations that go through that painful process. This year is basically lost. If you draft the quarterback next year, you don't want to throw him to the wolves. So next year is basically lost. You're going to say, well, look at what Deshaun Watson's doing. Yeah. Yeah, look at what Deshaun Watson is doing. Look at how Marcus Mariota is scuffling. You know, let's just go through all these young quarterbacks that come in and don't make it. You watch Mitchell Trubisky, it doesn't matter that the Bears won last week, and his numbers were horrible. Jared Goff is first year. And the Cardinals aren't going to be that, this famous last words, by the way, the Cardinals aren't going to be that bad that they have the number one or number two or number three pick. They can't possibly be that bad. So you're not going to get the best one. You're going to have to hope that the one that you get, if in fact they go that direction, it feels to me like the next 2 years, this year's going to be the injury bug hit us. And then next year it's going to be, well, we've got a new quarterback. David Johnson's going to be back healthy. He's going to line up behind a rookie quarterback in all likelihood. Because Blaine Gabbert and Drew Stanton are not going to scare the heck out of anybody. And you're going to have an offensive line that needs a lot more work. So there's just a lot of moving parts. World Series talk next with Pedro Gomez live from Los Angeles. That is on the other side. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, our television show, 16 airings a week on Fox Sports Arizona. We appreciate everybody involved in that. And now out to Los Angeles, where it is the sweaty Pedro Gomez joining us. Or maybe it's Pedro saying, you know, these people are just a bunch of whiners out here in L.A. about heat. After game one of the World Series, which the Dodgers won last night, ESPN and Valley resident Pedro Gomez. How are you?
I am well. It's June in Ahwatukee out here right now.
Yeah. So you're talking like dry heat with Santa Ana's, which you and I, having lived out there, we know what that's all about.
Yeah, it's just so rare to be this close to November and still have this.
Did it impact last night's game at all, in your opinion?
You know, Dodger Stadium, as we know, is very much a fair ballpark. It probably leans a little bit toward being a pitcher's ballpark. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a 3-1 score, you say, well, that's a pitcher's game. But, you know, the ball that Justin Turner hit out was elevated, and he jumped all over it, and boom, it went over the fence. And even he said after the game, I didn't think it was going over. When you get the hot weather in Southern California, the ball jumps out of the yard, much more so than it does during a normal, you know, Southern California damp evening.
Right.
So I think it absolutely had some effect on it.
Yeah,
But look, Clayton Kershaw had the biggest effect on the game.
That's right. Well, I mean, the Chris Taylor home run was... That ball looked like it was impacted too, I thought. I mean, that ball
got out
of here.
You know, I was talking to Ron Say before the game, and you know, Ron Say played here for 15 years.
Yeah.
And he said, whenever one person a season would hit a ball midway up the bleachers, it was a bomb. And Chris Taylor on the first pitch hit one a little bit above that.
Right, right.
And it's not like Chris Taylor is Willie Stargell, you know, a big behemoth of a man. So, yeah, there's probably something going on with the baseball, but that hot air also definitely helped.
Okay, Verlander goes tonight against Rich Hill. And how do you beat Justin Verlander? How do you go about it?
Well, it hasn't happened since the trade.
Right.
He is 9 games started, 9 games won, not just by the Astros, but by him. He has been the winning pitcher in all 9 of those games. So, you know what, Brad? I know that it's only game 2 of a 7-game series.
Sure.
But if the Dodgers beat the Astros in a game that Justin Verlander has started, whether Verlander gets a decision or not, I think the series is probably over. This is a must-win game for the Astros because you're not going to see Verlander again until game 6. And look, if they lose tonight, there very well may not be a game 6. So despite it only being the 2nd game of the series, I think the Astros absolutely have to win tonight.
Okay, but if you go around the diamond, are you saying to me then the Dodgers are that much better at most every position? They have
that much better
roster?
No, I think the Astros have the much better lineup.
So the
Dodgers definitely have the better bullpen, though.
So why tonight? Why? I get it because it's Verlander.
Verlander. He's your ace. Yeah. And if all of a sudden, you know, if Verlander loses or if the Astros lose a game that he started, you know, now it's Morton, McCullers, that's who you're leaning on to keep you alive in the series, which I'm not saying can't happen, but game 3 is going to be Yu Darvish for the Dodgers, and Yu Darvish has looked spectacular in the postseason so far. So that's a tall, tall mountain to climb. If you're 1-1 in the series and Yu Darvish is on the mound, you might be able to use a little bit of that home field advantage to kind of pick you up a little bit. But if it's 0-2, and Yu Darvish is on the mound, I think it's going to be 0-3 at that point.
We're talking with Pedro Gomez from the World Series in Los Angeles. Dodgers up a game. Tonight, game 2, Verlander against Rich Hill. Some things that are Diamondbacks related, and one of them is the manager of the Astros. My view was A.J. Hinch just simply wasn't ready, wasn't prepared, was way in over his head back in the day when the Diamondbacks gave him a shot. But you have to give them some credit that they had the foresight that we think this guy could be a manager. Or did they just butcher that whole thing when he was here?
No, a lot of times, you know, guys who are in their first go-around as a manager, it's hard to be successful the first go-around. You know, Joe Torre was a failure the first go-around. Terry Francona in Philadelphia was a failure the first go around.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys that the very first time they are managers, you think you know what the job is, but until you're in that chair, you really don't know. And I've had this conversation with AJ before over the last couple of years, and there's no doubt that he thought he was prepared, but until you're in that chair, you really don't know all of the intricacies that take place with having that job. So it's no great surprise that AJ is doing much better the second go around. And, you know, you just look historically, and that's kind of the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Bench coaches leave. When Bob Melvin left Bob Brenly told me I just became a lot less smart, and used some other terms too. Ron Gardenhire leaves. How big a blow is this to the Diamondbacks? He goes to Detroit.
It's
going to
be big. I think it's going to be big, and it's going to be interesting to see who the Diamondbacks and Torey Lovullo put in that position. It is a much more vital position now than I think it ever has been, because there's so much going on just moment to moment that a manager has to be up on, that it's hard to be thinking two innings down the road. Mm-hmm. And that's why you see a lot of ex-managers in that role, because they know how you have to be thinking two innings down, three innings down the road in that role. And you're just kind of another voice for the manager. Hey, we got to be thinking here about two innings from now, this spot's going to come up in the lineup. We're going to have a certain reliever ready for that if there's a guy on base. Just things that seem easy when you're watching from your couch on television. But in the moment, pitch to pitch, the game is flying by these guys. And I think that's one of the things that A.J. Hinch also had an issue with when he was with the Diamondbacks. The game was just going so fast,
right,
for somebody that had never been in that role before. And that's one of the things you learn when you're in the second go-around, how to slow things down a little bit. So Gardenhire, you know, he was having the chemotherapy sessions early in the season. He wasn't there for the first couple of months of the season. But Gardenhire is such a sage and respected voice. And that plays not just with Torey Lovullo, but with the guys in the clubhouse. So for that reason, he will be missed, no doubt about it. And look, we can go back to 01, Brad. You and I were here in Arizona. And we know that Bob Brenly was the manager, but Bob Melvin was really
the
brains behind everything that was going on.
Yep.
You know, a fantastic manager. So it's going to be interesting, and Gardenhire will absolutely be missed.
Well, and one other thing, too, on the managerial thing in this day and age, you have things now like replay and challenges, and the game has just changed from a day of having a guy next to you, to your point. You've got to have that sage, not even just looking at two or three innings down the road or the speed of the games. Now there's just, let's go challenge this play. Well, let's not. We've got an injured play. There's all sorts of changes that have happened. So I agree with you. And I don't see anybody on his current staff that I look at and say, okay, that guy's the next bench coach. Do you?
Not necessarily, unless there's a hidden gem there somewhere. But, you know, Lovullo has a lot of years in the game. He's played in a lot of organizations. I'm betting that there's somebody that he truly respects out there that maybe was a former teammate, a former coach, and it wouldn't surprise me if it's somebody like that who he truly trusts, because you've got to have somebody that you truly trust in that position. And look, Dave Roberts has Bob Guerin, and as much as Bob Guerin did not succeed as manager of Oakland, he still was a manager, so he knows what it's like to be in that role. And that's why a lot of ex-managers are in that role,
sure,
of bench coach.
Sure. It is the World Series, but Hot Stove League right around the corner. And the biggest news with the Diamondbacks is J.D. Martinez's future. Do you have anything? Have you heard anything? What's the latest on J.D. Martinez returning to the Diamondbacks?
You know, when they traded for him, Brad, it was strictly to be a rental player to finish out the season. And then all of a sudden, you know, he goes on a tear and becomes player of the month in September, really the best bat in the National League over the course of the last couple of months of the season. And I remember talking to Ken Kendrick, you know, the Diamondbacks owner, about this during the wild card game, before the wild card game. and said, what's the deal here? Do you guys even have a chance to do this? He says, you know, when we got him, it was purely to be a rental player, but you can change your mind on those things. And we know that Kendrick can open up his checkbook if he wants and say, despite what we're paying Yasmani Tomas, we want to keep J.D. Martinez. Look, if Tomas's money wasn't on the books, I think J.D. Martinez would be a slam dunk. The other part is that you could sign a guy like J.D. Martinez, say, to a 4 or 5 year deal.
Mm-hmm.
And if a year or two down the road, the club is just not clicking and things aren't happening, that's a very tradable asset. That's a guy that you're not going to have to sell for pennies on the dollar in a potential trade. So there's a lot of upside to trying to keep a guy like J.D. Martinez. And it wouldn't surprise me if Kendrick does make a bold move and says, screw it, we'll inflate the budget for this year and see what happens.
No, that would be something else. It'd be to keep everybody together, you know, the Greinke, Martinez, Goldschmidt trifecta, and give them another run would be something else for sure. Good stuff. Stay well and enjoy the World Series. Thanks, Pedro.
Okay, Brad. Take care.
You too. There's Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst, insider, Valley resident. That's great stuff there with Pedro from the World Series. Later in the show, Bryce Perkins, former Chandler High and Arizona State Sun Devil quarterback. On the road back, he is at Arizona Western College down in Yuma, becoming one of the top junior college quarterbacks in the country. He's going to be a one-and-done down there. He's already done well academically. We'll visit with Bryce Perkins. Talk to the Lopes comes up at 11 a.m. As we do every Wednesday, we talk Grand Canyon University and our partnership with them. Weekly visit this week, the Havocs. Nothing like it out there in college basketball. Their president, Karsten Kemp. How did this all come together? And we'll have Friday Night 360 AZ with Jordan and Haley, looking ahead to this Friday night's high school football games. This week's guest is Bruce Cooper. That's all straight ahead. I'm Brad Sesmat. All right, there's a couple things in town. I'm playing in a golf tournament this afternoon with Subway over at Talking Stick, Subway Kids and Sports. It's a cool event. Mark Roden puts it on every year, so I'm looking forward to seeing him. There's going to be some team representation out there today. All the teams will be out there because it's Subway and it's Mark. And I feel as though I need to get to some of the Suns and Coyotes people. Eric, you were not here, I don't believe, when I lived in the van when the Suns were really bad.
No, I was in college then.
You're in college then. So last night I was at an event. It was one of Mark's events over at Topgolf. And we got to talking because the Coyotes lost again. They have not won a game yet. I think it's like 0-9-1 now.
Something like that.
There comes a point where you have to support the team. You have to support the team. And I don't know if it's living in a van like we did with the Suns. You know, the Suns, the Robert Sarver, if you guys have not heard and haven't checked out the hashtag Sarver out, did you see that yesterday?
I did.
Morphine?
What? I did. And I also heard about the people that want to raise money to put
billboards,
a billboard up in downtown Phoenix. Why don't you just drive your car over here and give us that money?
Right.
Or give it, more importantly, give it to a local charity.
Sure.
Go feed the homeless in downtown Phoenix. It's just,
it's a sports team.
It's his team.
Yeah.
He owns it. He's not going to be swayed by a downtown billboard, just like LaMarcus Aldridge was not swayed by a downtown billboard.
The shaming of Robert Sarver doesn't work. He doesn't care. He's Teflon. He's been through this. He is the smartest guy in the room. That's just who he is. Whether you like it or not, I mean, I think it's creative and cool that a fan would go so far to say, I'm going to start this hashtag and I'm going to get it trending. It was trending last night in Phoenix. Hashtag Sarver out.
I guess I'm just curious, Brad. We've gone as a long time suffering Suns fan,
yeah,
a Valley native.
Yeah.
I've sort of, me personally, have gone from frustrated to
apathetic.
That's I'm not there yet, but I'm hopeful, because if the club continues to lose and if things just continue to go sideways, there will be apathy all across the Valley. We saw it with the Diamondbacks. We're seeing it with the Coyotes. And eventually, the Suns, it's going to hit the Suns if they don't at least start doing something to give these fans a ray of hope.
Okay, I would disagree with you. I think it already is there.
Maybe.
Because I'm doing it on a business end. I see the TV ratings for them. Nobody's watching. Like, I mean, very little traction at all.
And nationally, the only time they're getting talked about is when something ridiculous happens, like the Eric Bledsoe hair salon or Earl Watson getting fired after three games or two 40-point losses to begin the season.
No, but, I mean, Eric, let's go through this. The opening game was a week ago, okay?
Seems like a year ago.
Right. No, that's my point. A week ago, they had the worst opening night loss in the history of the NBA, okay? And what has happened since then? Lonzo Ball came to town and showed why the Suns should have tanked even harder.
Yep.
You then had Josh Jackson make a gun towards fans.
Get fined.
Which got picked up, got fined. You then had Bledsoe send out his tweet, "I don't want to be here." Then you had Bledsoe say, "Well, I was at a hair salon." And then you had Ryan McDonough say, "Well, I don't believe Bledsoe, and he's been sent home."
And there was bad blood between Earl Watson and Ryan McDonough that never surfaced until after he got fired, at least publicly.
And then you had Ryan McDonough admitting that there was the bad blood. And, and then you had a billboard that's come out. And then you have a hashtag that comes out. Okay. And that's all in a week. There's organizations that have gone years and years and years without this type of just constant stuff coming down their throats. And for the fans that want Robert to sell, I brought this up yesterday, it may be better if Robert moves the franchise and leaves the name behind. That's all. Just leave the name behind and let's just go through a cleansing period of a year or two without NBA, because the NBA will come back here. In fact, I'd be willing to bet that if Robert did move the team to Vegas or Seattle, that the NBA would probably, in very short order, get a team here, maybe even that year. I don't know that to be fact, but anybody who thinks that he's going to sell, you are kidding yourselves. And if you think you can shame him into selling, you're kidding yourself. I don't know of anybody around town or in the Suns organization and ownership group, and I don't know this group of owners inside and out like I used to. I'll be the first to admit that. I don't know if any of these guys are going to walk in and just say, you know what, you've embarrassed us, and you have made us a lot of money, but you've done it in embarrassing fashion. Donald Sterling made a lot of money, okay? But he embarrassed the franchise. The franchise was an embarrassment. Robert is close to that with what has happened on the court and the mismanagement of the team. It's a public, there's a public trust that's been broken with him. And he's done very good things. Suns Charities gives out lots of money. Nobody's disputing that. But unless you're on the payroll within the organization or he's writing you a check every 2 weeks, nobody should be defending this guy. Nobody. You cannot defend what has happened. And so, the hashtag Sarver out, if that leads to billboards, if that leads to a guy flying a plane with a banner over the arena like the guy with the Chargers is doing, then so be it. He deserves all this. You don't let these guys off. They're going to sit there and just, say read between the lines with their fingers up. That's basically what's going on here. Because every time he turns around, he does something else that sets the team back. Up next, Bryce Perkins. Looking forward to visiting with Bryce, the former Chandler Wolf. Former Chandler Wolf. We'll have him with us. And we'll talk about Arizona State, what happened there with the Sun Devils. And on the college front, that'll be with Bryce Perkins. That's right around the corner. On the college front, when you look at ASU and USC on Saturday night, I got to believe ASU wins this game. And I believe ASU is going to win this game with relative ease. They've gotten better from the Stanford game where they were horrible. USC, I mean, we saw what Notre Dame did to them last week. If there was ever a time in the Todd Graham era over the last few years, the signature win to me was what he did at Utah last week. It wasn't beating Washington 2 weeks ago. Washington just kicked themselves in the toe all night long. It was a big step. It was a big step all night. But that's not... The signature win really could be this week. If you lose this game, after the way that the team has played, and again, a lot of it is how do you lose? How is it that you ended up losing the game? If you go out and you lay an egg, if you let Sam Darnold get up and down the field after what Notre Dame did to him, USC has looked very, very average. And as it stands right now, USC's best hope to beat ASU and to have a big postseason, they've got to be able to run the football much better, and they've got to be able to stop. They could not stop the run against Notre Dame last week, and I think ASU can run on them. You know, for the Sun Devils, the way the Pac-12 South is going, and the same thing for the Wildcats. The Wildcats and Sun Devils are both in a position where the Pac-12 South, we were all thinking USC was going to be better, and they're not. I think many of us thought UCLA was going to be better, and they're not. They may not even make a bowl, and Jim Moore is going to get fired. Utah has really struggled at quarterback. Colorado is not good this year. So you go right down the roster, and who does that leave? Leaves what's going on here in our great state, where at U of A, you've got a quarterback that's exciting, that has the community energized. Arizona State has figured out their flaws, and they were many flaws at the start of the year. Todd has allowed these coordinators to go do their things and not get in their way. So by each week, you could see a better bowl game and a better bowl game and a better bowl game for this team if they keep winning. Like, to the point where if there is a major run by both U of A or ASU, one or the other, and it comes down to the two of them meeting, it could be for the Pac-12 South title the way that things are going this year. And who would have thought that 6 weeks ago?
And this is why, Brad, I love college football. Because when you and I sat here in July and we looked ahead to the Pac-12 South, this is what we talked about.
Sure.
Sam Darnold being close to, if not the number one overall pick.
Heisman candidate.
USC rolling through the South and probably making the playoffs.
Hasn't happened.
U of A maybe winning five games. ASU maybe making a bowl game. But the high-end prediction on that was probably 7 wins. And now here we are almost in early November, and you're saying ASU should beat USC on Saturday because Sam Darnold can't take care of the ball. USC's run defense was porous last week.
Yep.
ASU's defense looks like the defense from their Rose Bowl team a decade ago.
Wow, they dropped Rose Bowl.
That's just, I mean.
Wow.
Well, they've given up.
Pretty big.
They've given up, what, 16 points in their last two games total?
Against two teams whose offenses, I mean, Washington's offense hasn't been great. Their defense has. Utah was playing with their backup quarterback. I'm still on this path of, I'm not going to get too high about them, but their path is there. You can
exactly see
the path, but I'm still
not. But that's why we should get high on them, because like you said, they play USC. If they can get past USC, they've got Colorado, not a good team. They're at Oregon State. As long as it's not pouring rain and an 8:30 p.m. kickoff, that's a very winnable game. They've got UCLA and all of their flaws with Jim Mora and the uncertainty of him as head coach. And then you have the U of A game, which is probably going to be a coin flip game. So it's not like they have to play, you know, Stanford at Oregon.
No, they've already gone through the Pac-12 North.
But that's what I'm saying. The road is there.
The road's there, but I'm still skeptical because I have every right to be. I'm not going to be this cheerleader saying they finally got it all figured out and turned around. It's a week-by-week thing
for
me and them.
As is college football in general. Everything changes week to week.
Well, but it's different. If you're Stanford and you're Washington, like Washington can stub their toe against Arizona State, and that can be forgiven, right? Arizona State, because there's this whole we're ASU and we're the greatest ever, and they've talked a good game for 20 years, and they haven't been to the Rose Bowl in 20 years. And they're not going to go this year because they can't. The Rose Bowl this year is the national title, so you're out of luck going to the Rose Bowl. It would be the Fiesta Bowl if they had a terrific run. And so week by week, they just show a little bit more and a little bit more. And rather than getting ahead of ourselves, which happens all the time, like your team, TCU this week, I think TCU is a team that is a Final Four caliber team if some things break right. Look, there's nobody with Alabama. After Alabama, it's wide open. There's nobody that you look at and say, you know, Ohio State could have a loss again this week against Penn State, and Ohio State's already lost to Oklahoma at home. They could have two home losses. Who would have had that? Michigan, they're horrible. You go through the SEC, go over to the ACC. Florida State, a team a year ago, was a top. They only have 2 wins. So college football is like this huge ebb and flow. And Arizona State's always like this 50th best team. Maybe they begin in the top 25. Oh, we've got it all figured out. And then U of A just runs all over them and crushes them and embarrasses them. Oh, we don't want to talk about that. Well, it happened. So prove me wrong. Prove those that are sitting here still saying, you know, this is a good step. Good steps. But all it takes is USC coming in here on a national stage on a Saturday night with a less than sold out stadium and a poor showing. And it's just right back to this is what it's always been. It's a mirage. I don't think I'm wrong on that. In fact, I know I'm not wrong on that. We just want to sit here and jump up and down and cheerlead and say, go pitchfork and all that nonsense. No, that's not how it works in our business. Bryce Perkins is next. Now to turn our attention to a really good story. I think the ending here will be interesting to follow, and that is of Bryce Perkins. I saw Bryce through the years at quarterback and other positions at Chandler High. He was a terrific athlete. Went over to Arizona State. He left ASU. He is on the field. He is playing at Arizona Western, and they are in the Valley this coming Saturday against Glendale CC, the only time, I think, in the remaining schedule that we'll see Bryce Perkins here in the Valley. He is Skyping on in with us from Arizona Western. A name from the past who's going to be a name in the future. I think that's the best way to put it. How are things working out for you since leaving ASU and heading to Arizona Western, Bryce?
You know, I think they're working really good. I'm happy just to be back on the field. You know, when I got an injury, you know, they told me I wasn't never going to play football again. So just to be blessed and get back on the field at a high competitive level, competing with guys, you know, establishing new relationships, it feels great.
When you decided to leave ASU, you could have gone a lot of different directions. Why did you decide to go to Arizona Western?
It was a big thing for my family to see me play. My family has seen me play since high school. It was 2 years ago. So I could have went to another Division I program, but I was going to sit out a year, and that's 3 years without me playing. So I thought it was in my best interest, you know. And trying to work with my family so they can see me play. So Arizona Western is about 2.5 hours away from my house. So it just seemed like the perfect ideal spot for me.
Well, and on the field, you know, we've got some highlights here that we're going to roll in. On the field part of it, it looks like from a distance it has worked out well for you. What's been the biggest adjustment for you, and have you been pleased with your play? Two-part question there.
Just getting back in the swing of things. At first, a little rusty, haven't played in a while. Mm-hmm. So just getting back in the swing of things as far as not practice but games go, realizing you're live, you know, managing the game, getting down, make sure you don't take those shots as a quarterback. And so far, you know, it's been up and down. The first couple of games were definitely me getting used to getting acclimated back into the game again. Then as the season started progressing, I started to get more comfortable, and I'm starting to feel better and better about my play each game.
And your plan, from what my understanding was when you went there, Bryce, was one season, get the classes, and then go back into a recruitment phase. Is that still the plan?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I handled business at ASU when I was at ASU, was a pretty good student, did well in all my classes. So coming here, the credits transferred, it's more or less on school because I have enough credits not to take, like, be overloaded with classes. Mm-hmm. So I'm taking less classes and focus more on football for the semester.
And what will the plan be then after the season is done? Have you nailed your recruitment down? Are you wide, wide open? Talk to me about that spot.
Oh, yeah, I'm still wide open, still waiting for some more schools to come in and show interest. See where it goes, you know, get more of my highlights on the tape, get it out there to more people, just patiently waiting the recruitment process all over again.
How's it going right now? Do you already have offers in hand?
No, not right now, but I'm not worried about that. I know they'll come. I know God has a plan for me. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm just focused on every day, getting better and better every game, going out there, getting better for my team, making plays I should make, making plays I shouldn't make, and just being an overall team leader.
You were a terrific player in high school at Chandler High School. You went to college. It didn't work out. Why didn't it work for you at ASU, do you believe?
I think it was me. I think anytime something doesn't work out, you got to point the finger directly at you first. It starts with you. Mm. There's something always I could have done better is if it was preparing better, if it was getting extra rest at the practice, you know, just not being complacent with the position you were at because you're already at a D1 level. You got to push even further, do the extra stuff, more so than what you did at high school, because the game is faster. And I feel like some of the parts of my game I didn't try to elevate farther enough.
And those elements you've pushed through now down at Western, right?
Yeah, yes, sir. I'm definitely taking the extra step, doing more and more today than I was yesterday at ASU.
Do you have friends, I'm sure, on the team? The success they've had this year, the ups and downs, really, it's probably the best way to put it, but the success the last few weeks, what's your view of ASU and what they're doing on the field, Bryce?
Oh, definitely. I'm ecstatic. I saw one of the coaches came down to Arizona Western, a receiver coach, Coach Likens. I talked to him a bit after the Washington win, and talking to him, you know, it's exciting to see them doing good. I still got brothers on the team, you know, they're still my family. Just talking with coach, you know, and ASU is always like that. They always play people tough, play teams they shouldn't beat tough. It's just a fact of consistency with them. So I know they'll get it together and they'll be a deadly program again.
This is a win-win then. You're getting playing time. You're going to go back out there and be a Division I quarterback next season. And they're having success too. So it sounds like it's worked out well for both sides.
Yes, sir.
We'll let you go off that. Appreciate the time and insight. Best of luck to you, Bryce, down the road, and we'll keep an eye on your journey. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Bryce Perkins there via Skype from Arizona Western Community College down in Yuma. Good luck to him. Great kid and great stuff there from the former Chandler High Wolf and Sun Devil. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now for Talk to the Lopes. Every Wednesday, we talk Grand Canyon University athletics, things on campus, things that are all around GCU, and with the season right around the corner for basketball. They had a game this last week, a scrimmage, so to speak, up at Nevada. They'll be home before you know it. Now, when you talk about Grand Canyon University, you talk about Dan Marley and the basketball side of things, but as we have mentioned through the years, the growth of the student section, where's just a few people that started out in the new facility. I got it. And they got a little bit bigger. Now it's the biggest party in college basketball when you see the Havocs. So how did the Havocs come to be? Who got this idea and who started it? Well, the president of the Havocs, let's have a little bit of fun here on a Wednesday, lighten things up with Karsten Kemm. He is the GCU Havocs president. Why don't you give a little background? First of all, thanks for coming on. But secondly, give a little background about how this came to be that you have the title president of the Havocs, Karsten.
Oh, totally. Thanks for having me on today. I'm really excited to talk a little bit of GCU Lopes basketball and about the Havocs. So I'll give you a little bit of background. The Havocs are the student section, as you mentioned, for GCU athletics. We are very famous when it comes to the basketball side of things. As we've seen through the years, we've gotten tremendous praise. We've been given the title the biggest party in college basketball due to an article written not last year but the year before by SB Nation considering us the biggest party in college basketball, and that was kind of the start of things. And kind of on my end, you ask about being president and how that works. Is there's a leadership team that we come together as a leadership team, and we form theme nights. We try to organize things in a way that students will enjoy going to basketball games. And it really is a testament to how great our university leadership is here, all the way from our president, Brian Mueller, and down through our athletics department. They really want to see what makes students excited about going to basketball games. And they were the ones, along with our cheerleading coach and spirit programs director, Emily Stevens, wanted to see what do the students want? What's going to get the students to the games? And I think that's really what makes the difference for the GCU Havocs and the GCU basketball.
Okay, what year are you, Karsten?
So I am a senior. This is my fourth round of being a Havoc. Our leadership program traditionally stems from the fact that all the freshmen come in and see it, and then they have the opportunity to apply to be a part of the leadership program if they so desire their sophomore year.
What are you majoring in?
I am majoring in sports management. I am a part of the Jerry Colangelo College of Business. It's truly an honor to have a man such as that with such a well-rounded Phoenix and national broadcasting perspective of how big of a sports role he's been in the country to have him lead our sports management program.
Okay, what has this done for you personally, do you think, for your career as you walk out of GCU at the end of this year?
As a sports management student or
both?
Seeing the basketball and the Havocs side of things?
Everything. I mean, do you think being the president of the Havocs is going to help you with your career?
Yeah, I think it will. The big focus, though, for us is just creating a very fun and enjoyable. I've learned more from kind of the leadership of our university and seeing how how much they put others first, and seeing how the fact that our university wants to have the students' opinion on things and they want to see what other people desire. And I think that I've learned from our sports management the culture of athletics and professional sports as well has changed dynamically. You look around the country and you see how viewership is changing and the broadcasting realm and how different media platforms are working. So I think that GCU does a wonderful job of showing the fact that we live in a changing world and we need to be up to date on how people are tuning into sports and what they enjoy most about sporting atmospheres.
Yeah, no, I visited with Professor Gibb in the past, and I've talked with Jerry about this too. So it's really amazing how, to me, having been here for 20 plus years, to see something like the Havocs become a thing. It reminds me of the days when the Suns were the thing. And I think there's a little bit, or maybe even a lot, of the enthusiasm from 18 to 24-year-olds or 22-year-old students who are there on campus on how you can really transform something. We saw that with the Final Four last year and how much they made about the Havocs and the job they've done.
Mm-hmm.
So were you there with the initial meeting of, was it guys sitting around the dorm eating chicken fingers saying, you know what, we should get a little crazy? I mean, how'd this go, right?
So it's kind of crazy when you think about it, because you have mentioned the fact that we are so fresh and we're so new.
Yeah.
And it's kind of crazy to think we're in the fifth year of the Havocs already. It started by the goal of making it special. And it took some students who wanted to be trailblazers. Back when our arena first opened, we had less than 50 people to basketball games. And I've heard stories about how it was just so quiet in there. And it started with some students and with our leadership who said, we want to make this special. And it took some people out there that were one of 20 kids just going crazy. And sure enough, one thing leads to another. And you're bringing friends to games, and friends are bringing friends to games. And I don't know if you've been on campus and how much you've been on campus, but you can see how it's very close-knit. It's,
sure.
Everybody lives on campus. You got about 20,000, almost 20,000 on-ground students that truly love each other and love the campus. And when you have that close proximity, and when you look around and you see thousands of kids walking everywhere, it's a close friendship, and that really manifests itself into a great student section.
No, my daughter went to GCU, and I've seen GCU from all the way back, just through the years, even before Dan was there as coach. So, no, it's great to see. You have something here about 2,000 Havocs all-access passes. Okay.
Yeah, that was.
What does that mean? What's an all-access pass for a Havoc? What do they get?
Okay, that's a good question. So we wanted to give students the opportunity to kind of have a little bit more ownership, maybe some something where they can really feel a part of the Havocs. And we've realized that students want to have gear, they want to have things that they can enjoy. So what we did is we 2 years ago we started by selling 1,000 all-access passes. What the all-access pass entails is it gets you priority seating into the arena. So basically you get let in before the rest of the students. In addition, it comes with a jersey and a couple other items. This year we're featuring a fanny pack for students, as well as a jersey, a hat. We're also giving away a pop socket, which is a little phone accessory.
Sure.
And these students, the 2,000 all-access passes sold out in 8 minutes. 8 minutes is an incredible amount of time. We were pretty impressed. Our servers were able to hang with it. And, it's only $25. Students signed up, and we're super excited about it, and it's fun because it shows the real excitement going into this first year of our full eligibility in Division I.
All right, before you get out of here, Are you guys showing up at other sporting events now? Are you going to soccer? Are the Havocs going to be at everything? I'm not there at everything outside of basketball. I've been to some soccer matches. But are you guys going to take this to other sports, I guess, is the question.
Yes. So a lot of things, obviously men's basketball has been kind of our, and we'll never like act like it's not our biggest asset. However, we've started picking up going to men's soccer. I'd say this year we took men's soccer to a new level. We've started to implement some European features, such as bringing drums out to games and having songs that we sing for our team. And the players have loved that. We've got that, and then we're super excited for our new baseball stadium. We're opening a brand new stadium, state of the art. It'll be ready this spring, so we're looking forward to attendance boosts in that. But yeah, when it comes down to all the sports, we love going to volleyball. We've got I'd say a big surprise that we've enjoyed is tennis, men's and women's tennis. When you think about it,
the Havocs at tennis. That is awesome.
You're right on top of the court. They hear everything you say, so it's been enjoyable to go to that as well. But it's a well-rounded thing, and with how close-knit the campus is, they just love turning out and supporting the Lopes.
You guys are doing a great job. This is awesome, Carson. Best of luck this season. Keep it up, and that's a lot of fun. Thanks for the visit.
Oh, yeah, totally. Coming out to when we see you at some games this year, we'll throw you right in the middle of the Havoc.
I'd love that. Heck yeah. Surf me around, Carson. You know, break my legs. It'll be fun. So,
exactly.
See you later. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Take care.
You got it. There's Carson Kim. He's the president of the Havoc. Should we crowd surf? I don't know. Show up at that like the next day. I'm just a mangled mess. No, they really are a lot of fun. And when I say a lot of fun, I'm understating it. It's a true event, unlike anything I've seen here when it comes to college basketball in our state. You can go down to the U of A and go over to ASU, and they have their own little things, but there's nothing at all like what the Havocs are doing, even nationally. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.